And I promise you that I'm not preaching a sermon, considering the time that we have right now. And yes, we've heard already, I think, four pretty good, great sermons. I mean, you don't need to hear a whole lot more from me. I don't think I could top it, what I've heard today. But I do want to go into the third aspect of this new life we have in Christ that we're celebrating today. We've looked at just God's heart towards life itself. And then he's looked at the life that he ushers us into as we commit our lives to Jesus Christ. And the first Sunday of every month is our Communion Sunday, where we actually look at deepening our relationship that we have in Christ with each other. And I want to talk about that just briefly before we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I thought I was going to have quite a bit of time this morning, and so one of the things that I did in preparation for my message is to actually go into one of my theological dictionaries and look up the word communion. You know, it didn't exist, which is kind of interesting. There's this term that we use called communion, and when I looked up this in one of my theological dictionaries, it wasn't there. But what it did say is it said, go to fellowship and the Lord's Supper. Oh, okay. So I went and I looked up the word fellowship and the Lord's Supper, and it's interesting how we have a tendency to use the word communion in reference to a meal that we're going to have, when really the whole word communion means something quite different. And I wanted to talk just briefly about that. The word communion means to share in common. This is a meal that we eat the first Sunday of every month that reminds us of what we share in common. There is something that we share in common. It's a relationship with God made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit lives in each person who has a relationship with Jesus, then we share a relationship with each other as believers. There is a tie that binds us together, that joins us in communion together. It's just so sweet. Again, I think about this. I don't know if you think about this much, but I think about this a lot. How I wouldn't know any of you were it not for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit that lives inside us as followers of Christ, that then ties us together in communion. And what we eat is an expression of the communion we celebrate. To me, it's just so sweet. This whole morning has been about celebrating this communion that we have together. Again, we started by looking at our responsibility to defend new life. I mean, we're to preserve that precious life of an unborn child so that that child can enter into our communion. That's God's design for this child. He desires that an unborn child come to life to be able to enter into communion with Father, Son, and Spirit, and with those that comprise His family. This is God's desire towards that unborn child. Then we went into baptism. Baptism is a declaration of a person walking through the door into communion from a life of self, where there is no communion, into a life in relationship with the body, into a life of communion. This is so sweet. And the Lord's Supper represents a deepening of the new life of communion, both with God and with each other. It's just what makes it so beautiful. When we take the bread and the juice, and we ingest those, we are doing it as a testimony of the communion we have with God and with each other because of Jesus' sacrifice. That's what makes it so precious. It's a testimony of this communion we have with God Himself. And because His Spirit lives inside each one of us, then we have that communion with each other. When we eat this meal that we're about to eat, the focus isn't on the meal. It's a focus on the work of God through Jesus and the relationship we share with Jesus and with each other. And as we get ready to take of this meal, I just ask each one of you to deeply consider what you're doing to honor those relationships or to dishonor them. Because we have relationships with each other and we're to honor those. What are we doing to honor those relationships, to grow them? Or are there things that we might be doing to dishonor them and to tear them down? We either live with God's blessings as we honor each other in our communion, or we live with God's discipline as we dishonor God and each other in our communion. That's the story of 1 Corinthians 11 that we'll look at. They were dishonoring each other in their communion, and they were paying heavily for it. As Paul said, some were sick and some were dying because of the dishonoring of the communion that they shared together in Christ. And if we're suffering in our relationships, perhaps we just simply need to consider what we can do to honor each other in our communion. And if we're experiencing joy in our relationships, then perhaps what we're doing is we're honoring the relationships that we have in Christ that form this communion. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, is the best guide I know of as to how to honor the communion we have with each other. This is a great passage. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Because in this passage, Paul speaks of the attitude that we should have that is the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And it's because of that attitude of Christ Jesus that we even have our communion together, this fellowship. Paul wrote this: if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ or having communion with Him, that's what the united with Christ is indicating. If you have any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, again, or communion with the Holy Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Because it's the foundation. His attitude is the foundation for our communion together, our fellowship. It's something that an unbelieving world has no part in and lives outside of. And it's so sad. His attitude, again, is the model for us. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Look after the interests of others, not just your own. When those who are in a position to bless don't bless, but they act for themselves, then the communion that we have with God and others is dishonored, and it breaks down. It's just a constant reminder to us to be careful in our relationships with each other and work to honor each other in the same way that Jesus Christ honored us by giving His life for us to usher us into that relationship that we have with Him. And again, the passage that we typically read before sharing the Lord's Supper is found in 1 Corinthians 11. And I just invite you to open up to that as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We typically will read verses 23 through 26. But if we back up a few verses to verse 17, what we find is that this church was having a hard time because selfishness was ruling the day instead of humility. And the desire to understand and care for the interests of others just wasn't taking place there. And there was a breakdown in their communion because of the way they were behaving. And in the context of this passage, what was happening was those who were wealthy had forgotten about the needs of the poor. And so Paul was saying, hey, you know, wait, you're part of the same family. Don't forget the needs of some as you're looking after your own needs. So let's begin here with verse 17. What we find is that the weak are getting hurt because the strong have forgotten about the communion. Paul writes this: in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you're eating, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. what he was pointing out was those who are wealthy would come together first to get off work first. Maybe they didn't even have to work. They'd have these meals in their homes that were supposed to be a communal meal celebrated by all the people of their church, all the believers as they came together. But they would eat first, and they'd eat the best of the food, and they'd be drunk by the time everybody else showed up from work. Those who couldn't come till later, and those who couldn't come till later would come and to get crumbs. And Paul says, "What? You've forgotten you're part of a family. There's a communion that you share together that's so sweet and special. Wait for each other. You have homes that you can go to and eat to your heart's content on your own. But when you come together, don't forget each other, because you're all part of the same body. You're part of the same communion." And then he gives a picture of why it's so important. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after his supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" The ultimate expression of self-sacrifice on behalf of others, to draw them into this relationship of benefit, of mutual benefit, is expressed there by Christ. So, as we get ready to take the Lord's Supper together, I just want you to consider how God has equipped you to bless, and just encourage you to then do it. God has equipped each one of us differently to bless each other in different ways. However God has equipped you to bless, then bless. Don't get caught in your own stuff, but bless. It may be financial, it may be with wisdom, it may be through acts of mercy, it may be through a kind word, it may be through service, I don't know. But God has equipped each one of us for each other to live in a life of communion and relationship that's focused around the life and acts of Jesus Christ. So the question is just simply, are you being sensitive to the needs and interests of your brothers and sisters in Christ? And are you honoring the communion? Are you honoring Christ with your life? And are you honoring your spiritual family members? I mean, I hope the answer for each one of you is yes. All I can say is just thank you so much for the communion you allowed me to just share with you. I have so appreciated just how God has equipped each of you to bless and how I see you bless. It's just beautiful. So I'd just like those who are going to help serve communion to come forward. And let's remember the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf through this meal.